So we've been doing a series on invitation. This is the last one this morning. And we just want to kind of like share kind of like the heart of, and the kind of the spirit behind the message is that we are so passionate about Jesus. You cannot keep it to yourself. Do you know what I mean? And actually, if you whatever you value, whatever you love, whatever you adore, you just can't keep quiet about it. And that's what I want us to be like about Jesus. It's not a bad thing, is it? It's a good thing. And I think like you just want everybody to experience Jesus. And we just kind of like doing this series on invitation, which means inviting people to Jesus. And also the most simplest evangelistic strategy for you, it's we're laying it on a plate, is that you can just invite people to church as well. And church, as we have spoken about, is not a meeting, it's not a building, but it's a people. And we want people to come amongst us. And when, do you know, when we gather together, there's something special that happens. You know, the Bible says we're two or three are gathered. Jesus is with us in a very special way. Do you feel his presence this morning? When I was worshiping this morning, I felt the presence of God. It was wonderful, wasn't it? And I love doing this. I love being able to do this once a week. I love that we get to give our first day of the week to kind of like meeting together and worshiping Jesus together. Such a simple strategy. Come and see the one who changed my life. Yeah. Come and see Jesus who rescued me. Come and see. Come and meet the one who I adore. And that's kind of like where we're coming from with this. And so just to kind of like sum up and bring together what we've spoken about, I shared in the first week about this whole simple strategy of some of the disciples. Philip went to Nathanael and said, come and see, we found the Messiah. Andrew went to Peter and said, come and see the one who's been prophesied about. Andrew also brought to Jesus the Greeks, and the boy was the loaves and fish. Both spoke about the lady at the well who like went to a whole town and said, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Come and see the one who was the Messiah. You know what I mean? And so it's such a simple strategy. We talked about not being lukewarm. It's an offense to God when we're lukewarm. Do you know this? It's an offense to God. Let me tell you, Jesus literally said these words, I would rather spew you out if you are lukewarm. I'd rather you be cold or hot. But we want to be hot. We want to be a church that is hot, on fire, passionate for Jesus. We don't want to be cold. We don't want to be switched off to Jesus. We want to be hot. We do not want to be lukewarm. It literally makes Jesus sick. That's what he said. It would rather spew you out. So we want to be on fire. And Bo spoke last week about the importance of encountering God. And when you encounter Jesus, when you encounter him afresh, you know, that kind of like changes everything in your life. And that's where we're coming from. We want you to be on fire for Jesus. We want you to encounter Jesus in a fresh way regularly. And that overflows where you're like, just come and see Jesus. Come and meet. Come and see the one who changed my life. Is that okay? So this morning, I kind of like want to share, we've spoken about Andrew and the disciples, we've spoken about the lady. I want to talk about Jesus this morning, about his kind of like the way he's invited us. And so I believe this is what I believe. I don't believe that the calling of evangelist or the calling of preaching the gospel, I don't believe it's just for the ordained few, the professional preachers. I believe each and every one of us has got the call of God on our lives, and that is to see and to live and to be kind of like the hands and feet to kind of like proclaim and share the glory of Jesus and share that in our generation to our people, to our neighbors, to our family, to our friends, to our work colleagues. I believe each and every one of us is called by God to proclaim and show the glory of Jesus, to be salt and light. Do you believe this? You know, And this is the thing is I believe this is something for all of us. I believe the days when it was just the professional people that did all the ministry, I believe if we want to be effective, we've all got to kind of like put our hands to the plow. We've all got to say, you know what? This is my calling, my responsibility. It takes, let me tell you this, I really believe this, it takes zero faith to attend church on a Sunday. In fact, we even give you donuts. Do you know what I mean? It takes zero faith. God's big faith calling for you and is a big adventure and journey for you is not that you attend church or what you think attending church is. We've said it before, we'll say it again. This is not church. Church is us. And you don't stop being church when you leave the meeting this morning. We're still the church. And so it takes zero faith. We give you donuts, we give you coffee. What we really believe and what we really, really, really are passionate about is seeing you engaging God's faith adventure in your life, engaging in the call of God for your life. And so it has an impact and an effect on you when you leave the meeting this morning. Church is family, exactly. Church is exactly family. And the thing is, you know, we've spoken about statistics. Probably over 80% of us are here because someone invited us. Unfortunately, more than 70% of us will not invite one person this year. And over 90% of people in our community will never get an invite. That's the scary statistics. And so we want to be a people. Our passion is through this series and through encountering Jesus regularly and through being passionate on fire for God is that we will not be over 70% of us not inviting. We will be inviting people. We'll be an open people and we'll be a people brave and courageous and we'll regularly share our story and bring people to church. So they say, this is what they say. They say the church was at crisis point 20 years ago. We had in the 90s, we called it the decade of evangelism, and the church shrank massively. And so churches were closing their doors, and churches were closing, churches were shrinking. The average number of sizes of churches went down and down. Today, we're seeing this beginning to turn around. We're seeing churches growing. We're seeing churches planting churches. We're seeing kind of like moves of God, because I really believe, I really 100%, 1 million percent believe God is not finished with the UK today. You know, God is still moving. Yeah. Until Jesus sets foot on the Mount of Olives, he's still moving and he's still got a plan and a purpose for this country. And so we can have a part of that. We don't want to be left behind in any way. We're not going to be one of them churches that shrinks or closes the door. We're going to be a church that thrives. We will be a church that takes a hold of what God's got for us. But it takes each and every one of us taking this on board ourselves and saying, you know what, I am going to be salt and light. I am going to live the call of God in my life. And so there are signs that it's turning around, but unfortunately, you know, people have studied why our church is closing, and the biggest thing is that we become so inward-looking. Church becomes a thing, an event, a meeting on a Sunday, and we become so selfish, we're like, we can have attitudes where it's like, we will sing the songs we like, we will do the things we've always done, and we don't care about changing, we don't care about reaching others, we just want to do our thing. That's what's killing churches, but we want to be a church that is selfless. We want to be a church that is passionate. We want to love people in the same way Jesus loves people. We want to love church the same way Jesus loves church. Do you know Jesus, the Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. He loves his church. He adores his church. Sometimes we speak against and we criticize his church. And you're like criticizing the one he loves. Do you know what I mean? You know, and Jesus is passionate. He loves his church. And so sometimes, you know, there are certain attitudes that stop a church from thriving, these selfish kind of attitudes, and sometimes as well, you know, I've encountered this myself, and as leaders, you guys would have encountered this, people that have left churches because they've said things like, my gift is not being used, you know what I mean? That is such a massive thing for me, it's like, my gift is not being used. What you mean is you're not getting to be on the platform on a Sunday, when we want to see you all literally thrive. We want to see you thrive massively in the gifting God has placed upon you, not just here in the meeting setting for an hour on a Sunday. We want to see you thrive 24/7, you know? And everyone, sometimes it seems like people just want to be on the platform. But let me tell you, God might have placed something upon you that will shake and impact the your workplace, your community, this whole region. You know, there are things upon people you don't even realize that where God has literally caused you to be salt, which preserves and stops death. And light which shines and darkness has to flee. That's quite a calling, isn't it? And so we don't want to be, you know, like my gift or ministry, the church exists as a platform for my ministry, my gift. No, we exist for one reason and one reason only. That's to see Jesus worshipped. We want to see Jesus worshipped in places he's not being worshipped. In homes and households he's not being worshipped right now. Who wants to see that? I want to see more and more households in this region where God has placed us raise their hand and say Jesus is alive. That's what I want to see. And so all of this stuff is like, we're really passionate about this. We want you to be passionate about this. It is nothing to be lackluster about, but it is everything to be hot and fiery. And we've encountered God and we want to share that. Amen? Amen. And the thing is, the glory of God on his church and on his people is this. It's we've encountered the living Jesus. We've encountered the living Messiah. He changed my life. I don't know about you. He changed my life, you know. And I know he's real. Some of us have got testimonies that would blow people's minds if they heard it, you know. Some of us have got testimonies of God healing them supernaturally or God providing or God stepping in. But the most important, amazing, massive testimony is that God saved us and rescued us, and each and every one of us can save it. So I should turn to the Bible now. John 3:16 and 17. We know John 3:16, I hope. You know, even a lot of, well, especially in America, a lot of non-Christians know John 3:16. But oftentimes we stop at 16, but there's also 17. So let's read that. John 3. So God so loved the world. I know this one off by heart. I know, good. That he gave his only son. That... I'm going to read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Listen, for God did not send, everybody say send, his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus is on a mission. Father sends Jesus on this mission. God sent Jesus not to condemn but to save the world. So Jesus was sent. He's on a mission. And what Jesus did was massive. He came incarnationally, in other words, in the flesh. He came in the flesh, God in the flesh, worshipped by angels. Always was, eternal, ancient of days. Jesus always was. Before Abraham was, I am. You know, this is what Jesus said. He never was started. He's always been. Jesus is God, you know. And it says he came in the flesh amongst us to seek and save that which was lost. He did not send an angel to say, go and see that God is real. He came amongst us and said, come with me. Can you see the invitational nature of Jesus' mission? He came amongst us and said, follow me. He came amongst us and he said, come. And this is what Jesus did. And today, you know, he started with just a ragtag bunch of, like, kind of like blue-collar guys in his days, 12 ordinary unschooled men. That's how the Bible describes them. It says they took note of them because they were unschooled and ordinary. 12 unschooled, ordinary. Peter was he denied Jesus to basically a schoolgirl. And yet with these 12 men, and one of them was a betrayer, Judas Iscariot. There was another Judas. He's not Judas Iscariot. There was another Judas. But also the 12th man, they say, was like Matthias. They threw lots for him, but probably Paul. Through these 12 men, they changed the world with a message, an invitational message that Jesus is alive. They changed the ancient world as we knew it. They preached the gospel, they planted churches, they shared and proclaimed Jesus. We know through their lives and through church history and tradition that even though they kind of like stayed in Jerusalem, and Jesus was like, you're going to leave, you're going to go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. Not commas, but and. So you're going to start in Jerusalem and you're going to sort out Judea and you're going to preach the gospel in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And it says, you know, people like Thomas died in India. This is what church tradition tells us. Some of the guys died here, there, and everywhere, martyred because they were preaching about Jesus Christ. Do you know today, people are baffled. You cannot strategize. You cannot plan for what happened. You can't say, right, let's take these 12 men and change the world. So that today, this day, 1/3 of the world profess Jesus as Lord. Yeah. You can't strategize with 12 men with the persecution they suffered. I mean, they were thrown to light. We know about the persecution of the church. Well, the persecution it suffers today. You cannot strategize, but you can only say, but God. But Jesus. Since a guy called William Seymour in the turn of the 20th century, we nickname him One-Eyed Willie, in Azusa Street. Anybody heard of Azusa Street? Pentecostal outpouring in these last days, the Spirit of God fell, and out of that, do you know what? Out of that kind of like Spirit of God falling, it says they were speaking in tongues and they worship. It wasn't just something they did in a meeting. Do you know what? It translated to a passion for mission. A missionary movement was birthed, a kind of like a real zeal for evangelism. Since that event, over 900 million people they reckon have come to Jesus. That's today, more people are being saved, more churches are being planted than ever before, and more people are also being persecuted. But at the same time, in places like China, even in Iran, there's a movement amongst the young people in Iran, in Egypt, huge things of people coming to Jesus. You cannot strategize it. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, I'm telling you this because we want to be a part of this.
We don't want to kind of like sit here and become so used to church, so used to church becoming a meeting, so used to church being an event, something we do on a Sunday. We don't want to be so kind of like complacent, so lackluster, so kind of like lukewarm. We want to be a part of what God is doing, because when Jesus moves, when Jesus is moving, he's building his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. But when God takes a hold of somebody, and when somebody says, "Here I am, send me," when somebody with passion and zeal says, "Here I am, send me," there's no limit to what God can do with a church on fire. Amen? Let's be a church on fire. So Jesus, he didn't come to start a church for he didn't come to start an institution, a club, you know. He didn't come to start, he started a movement, a missionary movement. He said, "Go into all the world." Not go over to, go into, deep among. Go and live amongst and be in the midst of the people and be salt and light and proclaim the gospel and show people and tell people that Jesus Christ is alive. It's the greatest news ever. Jesus is alive. Shall I tell you why it's the greatest news? We don't have to fear death. What hangs over everybody is death. And naturally, at some point, you have a fear of death. Let me tell you, in Jesus, you don't need to fear death. In fact, we can get to the place where one day, I know it's hard, but one day we can celebrate people that have died in Jesus because they are with Jesus. That's right. It's the greatest news. Jesus is alive is the greatest news. Nobody else in history has died and come back to life. Apart from the people that Jesus raised, like Lazarus. And even that was a short something, because Lazarus is now with Jesus in paradise. Only Jesus is alive. Every other religious figure that people respect, Buddha is dead, you know, Muhammad is dead. Nobody else has said, "You're going to kill me, but I'm going to come back to life." And actually come back to life. Yeah. When somebody says that, when somebody does that, that is somebody to believe and to follow. Am I right? And Jesus started this movement, this missionary movement. And so it's a missionary movement because it says the Father sent the Son to seek and save that which was lost. Do you know the Son sends the Holy Spirit upon his church? And guess what? The Holy Spirit sends his church into the world. That's how it works. It's this sending kind of like relationship where Father sends Son sends Holy Spirit to be our comforter, our encourager, the gifts, the power, the presence of God, power to witness. That's what it's for, you know, not power to amaze us and for like to wow us on a Sunday morning. It's power to be witnesses that Jesus is alive, and the Holy Spirit sends the church amongst the world, and we spread like wildfire. And we show that Jesus is alive. And so it's a great thing, you know, church, to be included. It's such a privilege, is it not, to be kind of like included in this great commission. Commission means alongside. We get to work alongside Jesus. Is that not exciting? Is anybody else excited by this? I'm so excited. I get to work alongside Jesus. He's working, he's moving. The kingdom of God is advancing today forcefully in places where you'd least expect it. The kingdom of God is advancing in Muslim countries, in atheist communist countries, in all kinds of countries of the world where Christianity is even persecuted. The kingdom of God is advancing. Jesus is building his church. Praise God. Jesus is still building his church in the United Kingdom. In Waltham Abbey, in Lee Valley, in this whole region, people today are being saved. I want to give you statistics for just how many people this day will be saved and give their lives to Jesus. But we know it's countless thousands. Isn't that amazing? And God sends us. And he sends us, you know? And we're sent on this mission. And this whole idea of being sent, this word sent is given 60 times in the book of John alone. In the Old Testament, there's the word shilach, which means sent. 800 times it's mentioned. Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me." And our cry, church, is from this series. You'll cry every day. You'll wake up, you'll encounter Jesus because you're like reading your Bible, you're praying, you're valuing Jesus above all else. You're passionate, you're on fire. And every day you'll say, "Here I am, use me today, God. Here I am, use me." And we go into the world, and as we go, we make disciples of all nations. And it's not like missionary, being a missionary isn't just about going to some far-off country and doing some crusades and getting IBS and all of this stuff, but being a missionary, that's my journey. But being a missionary just means, yeah, a lovely thought, thank you. But being a missionary just means who you are every day, a missionary of Jesus Christ in disguise as a school teacher, whatever it is you do, you know? You are a missionary. And so when you leave this place, This isn't church. You're still the church. When you leave this place, we should have a sign over the door that says, you are now entering your mission field. Do you know what I mean? Incarnational. So Jesus came in the flesh. He came amongst us. He didn't send an angel. And by the way, one day in the last days, you know, the Bible says an angel will proclaim the gospel. But thankfully, wonderfully and privileged and honor it is that until then we get to be the ones, the church gets to be the vehicle which proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. You won't, Bo said this, you won't get to do this in heaven. You won't get to invite people or share your testimony. Now is the only chance we got to tell people that don't know Jesus about Jesus. Yeah. Now is the only chance we got to choose to kind of like worship Jesus when life is tough. Because in heaven, life won't be tough. Life will be pretty amazing, you know. When you're struggling, when everything's going wrong and you think you're being persecuted, this is the only time we get to choose to worship Jesus in the tough times. It's the only time we get to share with an unsaved person the love and the truth of Jesus Christ. And he came in the flesh and he sends us in the flesh. In the flesh just means present. Sadly, not enough of us are present amongst the unchurched people of this world. God wants us to be present. Not to kind of like hide away in our own corner and just wait until Jesus rescues us from this dirty, filthy, sinful world. He wants us to be present in the world, to be salt and light in the world, to value and love people the way he does, to value and love Jesus above all else, and to have a relationship with people where you can begin just to value, love them, they will feel this, and invite them to Jesus, share your story, and lay it on the plate for you. You can invite them to our gatherings on a Sunday, and we can encounter Jesus, which is a unique way when there's two or three are gathered, you know, this unique kind of like communal anointing, and worship Jesus in this setting, and you know, church, you know we're going to preach the gospel on a Sunday. You know this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this week in, week out. Even if everybody here is saved, we're still going to give the gospel, you know? And so we're commissioned. We want it to be a natural lifestyle as you go into and amongst society, as you're going, just share the gospel. Just be the church. Just encounter Jesus, value him above all else, and just let that kind of like overflow with love and passion. And bring in someone, it's such a simple strategy, you know. And the Bible, for the metaphors for church, we've got things like body. Do you know this? You know, body. Corinthians, it talks about the body. Here's another big one. Have you ever heard church in the Bible? You read it as an army? And so I think if church was a ship, we'd be a battleship, but sometimes we treat it like a cruise liner, am I right? Yeah. We don't want to be on a cruise liner, we want to be on a battleship because we are in a battle. And you know what? Let me tell you this. We are in a battle, but Jesus has already won. It's win-win. Do you know what I found when I was reading Joel this morning? I'll read this at the end, but I was reading Joel. A promise of God, it was given in the past tense and it hadn't happened yet. God is outside of time. When he gives a promise, it's already done. Do you know Jesus gave thanks before he broke bread and fed 5,000? He didn't thank God after the miracle. He thanked God before the miracle. So I want us to live in that place of faith and expectancy. When God speaks something, when God says something, it is already done. God's given us promises, LVC. We're believing for it. It's in the past tense. It's already done. We're going to live in that place. And we want to let it rise up. Inside of us, an excitement, a joy for Jesus, a love and passion for his church, for his people, and a love and passion for his call on our life and for our part in the Great Commission, you know? And so being incarnational, being amongst people, being going into the world. And finally, you know, actually, because of time, I'll just touch on this. But I wanted to encourage you because some of you guys have been having conversations, feeling where you're at in terms of being and inviting people and sharing your story and sharing the gospel and kind of like fulfilling our role individually. And some people have said, well, do you know what? It's quite frustrating because I ask a lot of people and they never seem to come. And, but I just want to say to you, there is a principle in the Bible of just not giving up. You know what I mean? Galatians 6, verse 9. Does anybody know this verse? The hardworking farmer will be the first to reap. I should read this instead of making it up. Here we go. Galatians 6, verse 9. It says this. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Who's believing for a harvest, LVC? God's promises to us are in the past tense. Here's the thing. There are people in the Bible that, especially if you read like Hebrews 11, the faith kind of like the people of faith that it talks about. God gave them the promise, and some of them didn't even see the fulfillment of the promise in their lifetime. But they were still committed to that promise. They were still committed to the word that God gave them. They even died believing for that promise, even though they didn't see the promise. Are you understanding? And so when God's given us a promise, church, you know, God has given this place, Waltham Abbey, he's given this Waltham Abbey a tremendous witness. This church has been thriving. I know, since I've been here, this church has been thriving and alive. The Spirit of God here is here. Lives are being changed. We've seen healing. And my heart is, and my passion is, that this church will thrive long after we're gone. Absolutely. Should Jesus not return? Yeah. A lot of us think Jesus is coming before then. But my heart is that we will leave this place a witness, a thriving witness, and have a heart for the next generation. That we will hand something to the next generation where there is something thriving and alive, something passionate and on fire, something which is engaged in the mission and not inward looking and not selfish and not close to the next generation. But we will be a people that are so in love with Jesus, we want the next generation to receive what we've got. A thriving, wonderful church God's given us in this generation at this time, but we want to leave something for future generations. Am I right?
Yeah.
And so there were people that died without even seeing it. And so what I'm saying, what I'm trying to encourage is you, keep doing the right thing. Keep inviting. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Keep praising God. Keep praying for the people that they've not got saved in 30 years. Keep going. Keep going. You will reap a harvest. And it's win-win. Because if your heart is to share Jesus, if your heart is to reach the lost, if your heart is to kind of like worship Jesus and praise Jesus, whatever happens, whatever fruit you think you haven't got, you're a winner in God's sight. I tell you that now. Anything we do in faith is win. Do you know that? In fact, without faith, it's impossible to please God, but with faith, we please God. Yeah. So anything we do, and sometimes we bemoan lack of fruit, and we think God is all about the fruit, the end result. That's human beings. We're all about, you know, how many people come to our church, or how much money's in our bank accounts, or what kind of car we drive, or what the results are. That, none of that means nada to God. It means nothing to Jesus. What Jesus is looking at is the faith and the heart. Do you know this? In fact, Billy Graham said this. He said, God is more interested in our faithfulness than even what we call our fruitfulness. Faithful. Don't become weary. Let us not give up. Do you know that in the Greek, the original Greek is, let us not rest. So church, this series is like a gentle, don't rest. Don't kind of like get lackluster. Don't let life get on top of you. Don't kind of like give up in sharing the gospel. Don't give up in being engaging in the mission that God's got for you. Don't give up in worshiping and believing and standing on the promises. Don't think, well, we've been talking about this for since I was a lad and I went to school with Moses. So it's been, do you know what I mean? Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep believing and don't rest. Because at the proper time, we will reap a harvest, and the hard-working farmers are the ones who reap first. And we want to be a hard-working church. We want to be a church on fire. We want to be a people just passionate, obsessed, and crazy about Jesus, which makes us that sound should not have been on. That's really crazy. Those kind of tells you where I'm at. Sowing the right. No, I don't feel embarrassed at all, mate. Patience is not a virtue in this world, is it? I put that time on deliberately half an hour early, so we still got half an hour, you know. Patience is not a virtue, you know. We expect everything straight away in this day and age. I'm saying be patient. Yeah. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't bemoan why you in your mind have things aren't happening. God is looking at your journey and your heart. He's looking at you right now. He doesn't care what we just call fruit. He just wants us to engage and to love him and to be in love with him and his call, you know. And let's not judge each other's fruit and all of this rubbish that we do. Let's not think church exists for us for now, you know. And let's not bemoan when we don't sing songs we like, or if you think that this church is not Or you might have a heart for something. This is another common thing. And just because we're not doing it, you think this church has got no love because they don't do this or this ministry or that ministry. If you see a gap, come to us. You know, maybe God wants you to fill the gap, you know. And don't be one of them people that thinks, you know, the church is all about the Sunday and gifting is all about the platform. Let me tell you this. You are gifted. You are called. You are anointed. God could use you, wants to use you to transform the world. This is how they describe the apostles in the ancient world. It says, these people are causing havoc across the world. They're turning the world upside down. I want to see Lee Valley turned upside down. Yes. Wolfram Abbey turned upside down. I want people to accuse us of causing havoc because we're preaching the gospel and people are being saved. And, I'm no expert, but if you sow a tomato seed, at some point you expect to reap tomatoes, you know? Yeah. You're not going to reap, I don't know, country music or Justin Bieber. You are going to reap tomatoes, aren't you? You know what I'm saying? And so if you keep sowing faith, if you keep sowing the gospel, keep spreading the net, if you keep sowing words of encouragement, words of faith in people's lives, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Give up means rest. Don't rest. Stay on fire. Stay passionate. You know, let's not get lukewarm. And as I finish, I want to remind us of a promise. I want to give us a promise, LVC. I feel like this is for us. This is for us for this season. I really believe God is moving. We've said we believe we can see this place filled. Can you see this with me, church? Yes. Every promise of God is in the past tense. He lives outside of time. God is already there. Let's catch up with him. Let's live in that place where we believe we're thriving. And let's believe that we will hand over to the next generation something thriving. We'll make it so easy for the next generation to come and worship Jesus. Do you want that? And we will die trying, and we will celebrate and worship. And even if we don't see the fruit we're expecting, let me tell you this, the fruit God is looking for in you is faith and love for him and worship for him. Is that okay? Joel chapter 2, verses 23 to 26 says this as I close. It says, be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God. He has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the locusts, the great and the young locusts, and the other locusts that swarm. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked wonders for you, and never again will you be shamed. God is our fruitfulness. God is Jesus is the one who saves. Jesus is the one who gives us everything. And so you can take the pressure off yourself. We're not counting. Nobody's judging how many people you bring to church or how many people you lead to Jesus. Just take that pressure off yourself and just live in a place of love for Jesus, passion, being on fire for Jesus, and let Jesus shake the world through you, transform the world through us. And let's believe together that God's promises for you are us. A yes and amen. It is done. It is finished. We're going to see impact. We're going to see souls saved. Yeah. And we're going to see Jesus worshipped in households where he's not worshipped at this moment in time in this town and across this Lee Valley region. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, church. Amen.